Well, as I mentioned a little earlier, we are observing two significant events this weekend. First is primary, and it is what is known as Pentecost Sunday, which Christian churches around the globe observe. It's actually the birthday of the Christian church. It's a time where we remember of the coming of the Holy Spirit with winds and tongues of fire, just as Jesus had promised. It's a time where the Holy Spirit came to empower the people of God to be active in the world. Now, the story of Pentecost is recorded in the second chapter of the New Testament book of Acts, and today I'm going to be just reading a few selected verses from this passage, and my hope is you'll read the entire chapter sometime this week. But listen to these words from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire that spread out and touched each person there. And we read that many miracles and wonders were being done through the apostles, and everyone was filled with awe. All the believers continued together in close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would sell their possessions and property and distribute the money among all according to what each one needed. And day after day, as the group met in the temple and as they had meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts and praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Now, the second event of this weekend is the long-standing tradition at DeWitt Community Church where the senior minister gives a State of the Church address instead of a traditional sermon. It's kind of a way of giving the congregation a report on how we're doing and where we're going, so this is my annual report to the congregation. While I'm aware that this Sunday never sets attendance records, I think it's one of the most important Sundays of the year for us. As it looks at where we are and where we've been and where we are and where we're going as a congregation. Because for us to be effective in our mission, it requires us to be a unified body, all moving together in the same direction. We're a family of faith made up of people who have different gifts and different talents and different temperaments and different levels of spiritual maturity and different viewpoints. So getting us to all move together as one body is not easy for this church or any church. With this in mind, I want to read our second scripture passage, which comes from the pen of St. Paul, and it's recorded in 1 Corinthians 12. Listen to these words from St. Paul. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it's made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slave or free, have been baptized into one body by the same Spirit, and we have all been given the one Spirit to drink. For the body itself is not made up of only one part, but of many parts. If the foot were to say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," that would not keep it from being a part of the body. But if I were to say, "Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body," that would not keep it from being part of the body. If the whole body were just an eye, how could it hear? And if it were only an ear, how could it smell? As it is, however, God put every different part in the body just as he wanted it to be. There would not be a body if it were only one part. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. All of you are Christ's body, and each one is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, as we celebrate the coming of your Holy Spirit at Pentecost, today we give thanks for the ministry of DeWitt Community Church and its 208 years of being used to transform lives and to serve people in Central New York. Help us to be thankful for the past, while at the same time energized about what you have in mind for us in the coming years. Speak to us through the words of Scripture, whisper to us through your Holy Spirit, and prod us to be bold, not timid, as we seek to do your work and strive to be in line with your will for this time and this place. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Well, the message for today is broken down into two distinct parts. The first is kind of foundational, and the second is more operational. So first, I want to say, we're not just a collection of people who are trying to do good. Our basic DNA as a congregation comes from God. God has called us together. God has empowered us with His Holy Spirit. And without that foundation, we're little more than a club with a cross on it. That means we're guided by the Holy Spirit. We're guided by the Scriptures. And that being faithful to God's call is far more important than anything that we can measure by human standards. It also means that we need to and learn to wait upon the Lord and to trust in God's timing rather than our own, which can be pretty hard. It requires us to trust God even in times of uncertainty and change, and to trust that God always, always, always walks with us. Now, I don't think it's any great secret that Christian churches, especially in the United States, and especially mainline churches like us, are struggling, especially in the Northeast. That we're now living in an almost anti-church culture, and we are aware that as we navigate the future, we need to acknowledge this. This past year, right after Easter, Pastor Allen taught a class called Christian, Not What You Think. And it's based on a book by Andy Stanley. And in that book, researcher David Kennerman conducted a survey of people between the ages of 19 and 29 who were not Christian. And he asked them to describe their impressions of Christians in general. I want you to listen to their responses. 87% of them said Christians are judgmental. 85% said hypocritical. 73% said old-fashioned. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? I kind of feel a little old-fashioned at times. But 75% said way too much into politics, and we certainly see that in our culture. Now, I don't think these impressions are an accurate reflection of who we are as a congregation. I don't believe that at all. But we need to realize this ain't 1950s or 1960s anymore, where just about any church that opened its doors was successful. Events such as the clergy sex abuse scandals and the political polarization of our country are hitting all churches hard, and it makes our work together more challenging. Many denominations, such as the United Methodist, are entrenched in major battles, and there's a lot of disunity and brokenness, and many people have simply given up on church. And it's in times like this that I'm thankful we're non-denominational. So today we have to battle those perceptions, and we have to work hard to be a reflection of what Jesus actually taught and what he lived, and avoid all of these things that just push people away. And at the same time, there is this obvious, obvious spiritual hunger within our nation as people are seeking and hungry for spiritual direction in their lives. So what are we to do? Well, my take is this, and it's pretty straightforward and simple. Strive to follow the teachings of Jesus. Rely on God's Spirit to empower us and lead us, and be open to changing how we do things in order to be effective in the mission God has given to us, which is connecting people to Christ through the power of community, growing people up in their spiritual maturity, and encouraging people to use their gifts to serve God and to serve others. So how are we doing at that? Again, from my vantage point, well, I know we are far from perfect. I'm far from perfect. I am pleased and even excited where we are and where we're going, especially as we navigate very difficult and divisive times. We continue to experiment in small ways to be innovative in our worship experiences, trying different things in our chapel services at 5:30 and 9, and occasionally at the 11. And I truly want to thank Abel and Nick and Gloria and the whole pastoral staff for being open and creative and looking at different expressions of worship so we can connect people with Christ through our worship. I believe that our family ministry with children and youth and parents has made significant steps forward this year under the leadership of Pastor Cindy and Mary Chiarello, our youth director. The confirmation service this year was just one example with the youth directly involved in planning and leading the worship services for all three weekend services. I thought that was phenomenal. And I'm excited about some of the plans that are in the pipeline for 2019 and 20, but I was told that you can't reveal that. If you do, I won't go there. Anyway, there's some good stuff coming. Now, I also believe our adult discipleship groups have taken another big step forward in growing people up in their spiritual maturity. Thanks to the leadership of Pastor Allen and Pastor Cindy and Betsy Snyder and the Disciple Bible Study and Sunday morning groups and weekday groups, they're growing and people are growing, and that's what we're about. I'm also very pleased to see more and more people involved in serving ministries, especially outside our walls. From the Samaritan Center to Operation Northern Comfort to having so many people from this congregation involved in Meals on Wheels and partnering with our missions of the month. We're putting our faith to work and we're making a difference in this community and way beyond. And this weekend, today, at the close of this service, we're going to be commissioning the team that's headed out to South Sudan working with Hope for Ariang. Elizabeth, Quinn, Erica, and Kim, we send you off with our prayers as you represent all of us as we look forward to seeing how this partnership with Hope for Ariang will continue to grow in the coming years. I remember just a few years ago when we dedicated Miller Commons of meeting Gabriel and Liz and hearing about their story, and now it's continuing to grow. It's a God thing. It is. And our congregational care ministry is one of the best of any churches I'm aware of. And that's thanks to a dedication of a great group of Stephen ministers and a congregation that actively prays and encourages people in times of challenge. We walk with people. And there are two areas that people often overlook, and they're key to our effectiveness, and I want to mention them. We don't think of this as ministry, but it is. One is our facility team. Mick Thorpe and his team, along with the property management department, do an incredible job at keeping this building running. And there are so many groups that meet here during the week. If you ever come by here and you see the parking lot, it's almost always busy, because we're living out that vision to be a community church for the community. And there's daycare and support groups and AA groups and music and dance. It's what it was supposed to be and what it is. We are a community church for the community, and that wouldn't be possible if it weren't for the great facility team. A second group that also goes unnoticed is all the administrative functions that support our mission together, using their gift of administration, which means ad-ministry. It's a ministry. It's a gift of the Spirit. The administrative staff of Alyssa and Peter and Jane, simply the best that I've ever had the privilege of working with. And then there's the board and committee structure. A lot of people don't think of this, but there's so many people behind the scenes who make things go. And I'd especially like to thank the president of our board, Eric Whitchie, and vice president, Greg Stock. Eric has taken on some long-standing issues that have been needed to address, and we will benefit greatly by addressing them now. His willingness to take on difficult stuff is admirable. And to all of those who serve on boards and committees and ministry team, your work is so vital to what we do. And we're working hard to expand the number of people serving and involved, and involving new people so there can be a larger circle of involvement and fresh ideas can bubble up from within. It's all about discovering and using the gifts of everyone to make the body whole. It's about getting the right people in the right seats on the bus so we can all move forward together with unity and purpose. It's really about being what St. Paul wrote about in our scripture for today, that Christ is like a single body, which has many parts, but it's still one body, even though it's made up of all these different parts. And God put all of these different parts together in the body as he wanted it. All of us are part of the body, each one of us. I believe there's a lot for us to celebrate as a local congregation, because in large part we're seeing these words lived out by how we do ministry together. And while there's a lot to celebrate, I do want to bring to your attention two areas that have a potential of sidetracking us. First is in the area of giving. We never want to be accused of being a church that's only interested in money. That really hurts when you hear that. But at the same time, we know that many of the good things that we celebrate are the direct result of your generosity. As we get close to closing our books at the end of June, as of last week, we're down about $55,000 in order to reach our budget. Jane, our finance director, said it's basically because many faithful contributors are just behind. So as Rick mentioned, we just want to encourage you to play a part in making sure we close the budget year and keep that positive momentum rolling. Second, one of the things that sidetrack many congregations is gossip. I don't think there's a whole lot of it around here, but my hearing's been going for some time. But gossip can be damaging. If you hear someone and have, if you hear something and you have questions, ask. I'm available by phone, email, personal appointments. If you have questions about what's going on or what we're doing or why, I know Eric, the chair of our board, also has an open stance and is really eager to listen to what you may have to say. Quick story. I think it was my second week here, and there were all sorts of rumors flying around here about all sorts of things. So Nancy Bond, I think I see her back there. No, I don't. But you all know Nancy. I love Nancy. Nancy made an appointment with me, and she walked into my office. She closed the door, and in that voice that only Nancy can do, she said, "Mark, what in the world are you doing?" So we took about 10 minutes, and she went through her list of concerns. Many of them were based on rumors. And we got squared up. I learned some things. She learned some things. The church was better off for it. This is the way a healthy congregation works. There is a healthy way that builds up a congregation and doesn't tear it down. So let's continue to deal with things directly and not let rumors or gossip sidetrack us from our mission. Now I want to close today with just a couple of quotes. The first is from Harry S. Truman, who once said, "It's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit." Isn't that true? And then there are these words from the great philosopher of college football, Bo Schembechler. You knew I'd get one of these in, didn't you? And Bo said this, and I'm going to do my best Bo Schembechler imitation. "No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team. The team, the team, the team." How do you do? Yeah. All right. Well, these words from St. Paul and from Harry Truman and from Bo Schembechler all remind us of the importance of working in unity, working together. That being the body of Christ is not about you. It's not about me. It's about allowing Christ to use all of us together to accomplish the mission he's given to us, to function as a body made up of many parts, as a team unified by our mission and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a manifestation of Christ in this world. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for the 208 years of ministry in the Syracuse area. Continue to empower us with your Holy Spirit. Continue to mold us as we work together using all the gifts that you've given us and to be your presence in this community and around the world. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.